Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN TV political analyst Paul Liznek. Hi, Paul. Good to have you on the radio with us today.
Good morning, Robert. Yes, pleasure to be with you.
And I watched your commentary on Channel 9 over the weekend. I saw a picture of you with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What were the circumstances of your meeting with her?
Well, I was with her a few times. That particular picture they ran was at a White House Hanukkah party where we were both there. So we were chatting there for a while. But I've also interviewed her. I had a half an hour sit down with her and a few years back and had a chat about all sorts of different issues.
Well, we've heard so much about her. Did anything about her surprise you when you got to interview her over the years?
Well, there were things that at that time that I wondered about. For example, the Bush versus Gore, right, famous case, where in the dissents that got issued by the more liberal justices, they wrote these lengthy dissents. And Ginsburg just issued a dissent that said, "I dissent." And I thought she was angry. She was bitter. So I wanted to ask her about that and did so. And her answer to me was, "No, I wasn't angry. I wasn't bitter. I was just exhausted." So, I'll take her at her word that's what that meant, but it certainly read differently and obviously a very, momentous decision.
Sure. The president said this morning that he'll have a Supreme Court nominee Friday or Saturday. Some say politically it would actually help President Trump if he said he was holding off until after the election. Do you agree with that?
It's a calculation that the president's not going to make, Bob. It's a calculation that that McConnell's going to make. And here's the issues of scenarios. There's no question now that, the pressure you're seeing, it's all about the particular justice who passed. You wouldn't be having this concern or this discussion, whoever you are, if it were a different justice, one of the Republican justices or conservatives. This is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, of course, is larger than life, an icon, and so it's going to certainly motivate the folks on the conservative side, because this is a chance to truly change the court for a generation. It's going to motivate more progressives and liberals who now see everything they fought for decades about to crumble, depending on who the pick is. As far as when it happens, here's the concern McConnell would have. Imagine, just hypothetically, that after the election, Joe Biden wins and Democrats take over the Senate. If that happens, then if you're Mitch McConnell, how do you proceed with the public saying, "Well, we're taking the vote anyway because we can now before the end of the year"? And he can. And by the way, he will. Mm-hmm. But I think he'd rather take that vote prior to that situation, and McConnell will have a better sense as things get closer as to how likely he is to lose the Senate and or the president losing the race.
I guess the big question heading into Election Day, does all of this energize Trump voters or Biden voters more? And I know it's hard to come up with an answer to that one.
Well, I think the answer is both, because, look, evangelicals are behind the president no matter what, right? They're a key block to him. This is all about those people who are undecided, be they independents or be they people on either side. If you're an undecided Democrat, and some people say, how could you be? Well, the issue is that polls are showing people are really motivated to get rid of Donald Trump on the Democratic side, but they're not necessarily excited about Joe Biden. But last night, you had a public press conference with Chuck Schumer and AOC. AOC is no fan of Joe Biden's. I mean, she doesn't dislike him, but she's a Bernie person. And there she was basically telling everybody, young people, you got to get out there and vote. So things are energized, polarized on both sides right now. And I think we're going to see a probably historically large turnout in this election on both sides.
Will Republicans have enough votes in the Senate to approve the president's nominee?
Well, they can lose three before they can't do it. And here's what's interesting about that. They've already lost two. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Collins of Maine, have both said, we shouldn't have this vote. which interestingly, they didn't say they won't vote for the nominee. They just said we shouldn't have this vote. So arguably, that's two of the four. If McConnell doesn't hold this vote before the election, and if Mark Kelly, the Democrat, the astronaut guy, who's running against Martha McSally in Arizona, if Kelly wins and beats McSally, that's a special election. That's not a regular election. So he could take office very quickly. That would be the third vote against a nominee. That would leave one more. We've yet to hear from Mitt Romney, who, of course, voted to impeach President Trump, so he could say he doesn't believe in the vote. Chuck Grassley, who was the chairman of Judiciary in the past, has said in the past that this vote should not happen. If he were chairman, he wouldn't take this vote. But, you know, they have yet to face the wrath and the pressure of Mitch McConnell. So where that fourth vote would come from, or at this stage, third and fourth, it's hard to know.
You know what I've learned this weekend, Paul? Anything I say here on the radio, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. They can play it on tape. I can change it down the road and just do a never mind, and no one will care.
You know what, Bob? And listen, I was on our morning show this morning and basically made the point, however people react to it, this is a purely political thing. And by the way, Democrats, if they were in the same position, would do the same thing. But when you saw every Republican senator on all the Sunday morning talk shows basically have clearly the same talking points, they all knew the math. There have been 29 times in history that this has happened in an election year. 19 of those, you had the same part. This talking point became when you have the president and the Senate of the same party. Well, the 19 times in history they proceed with the vote, 17 times that nominee passed, and they've all got this math. We didn't hear any of that back in 2016. In 2016, it was simply wrong to deal with a Supreme Court nomination in the year of a presidential election. Forget where we are now, which is people are voting. Back then, it was you couldn't even do it in a year. So they're twisting themselves in pretzels to make this sound like it's absolutely purposely, absolutely the way precedent is. But once again, in fairness, you know, Democrats would do the same thing.
Right. And back then, it was, 9 months ahead of the election for President Obama?
Well, I think it all started with 11 months to go. But yes, by the time there was a nominee and the fight was going, it was 9 months and nobody was voting yet. Whatever. Here, you have people in a whole variety of states. They're already casting votes, already casting their ballots. So it's a very different situation, and it's about political power. I mean, you can spin it like you just said. You can state an opinion, change it tomorrow, and not only change it tomorrow, Bob, you'll have a justification for why you changed it. Look at Lindsey Graham, who's been on camera twice saying, hold my words against me, this will not happen. All of a sudden, oh, well, you know, Kavanaugh changed everything, the whole world is different now.
Yeah.
You know.
Read my lips. Right. Yeah.
That's what politicians do.
Paul Lisnik, and you see him on WGN-TV, and it was nice to hear him on the radio on WGN today. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Bob.